Blog Talk Radio.
All right, thanks for joining us. Some pretty intense intro music. My name is Matt. I'm joined with Billy. This is Colors in the Void Happiness 2.0. In today's episode, we're going to explore the concept of happiness. Our blog format is two great friends jump on a quick phone call to explore the meaning of the life, the meaning of life, the meaning of the universe, and other sundry topics. Today is about happiness. I'll fire Billy a couple questions about happiness. He'll in return fire me a couple questions about happiness, and we'll just talk it through and see if we can connect on anything. One of the things is that this blog is intended for people who are, either trying to reach a higher plane or have already reached the higher plane. So no matter where you are in that journey, we're glad you're here. We're welcoming you to join us. If you're carrying something heavy, hopefully today we can lighten your load. And if you've got something to give, go out there and give it. Billy from Hawaii, how are you doing today? Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day, Matt. I'm doing great. How you been?
I've been very good, very good. Great Mother's Day. What was the best thing that happened to you today?
Oh, the best thing that happened to me today is talking to you, Matt. No, that's number 1B. The best thing that happened to me is my wife waking up and us being able to celebrate her as a mother and as a loving wife and to honor her and everything that she does for our family. She's the glue, and I'm lucky to have her. And so it's nice to be able to show that appreciation on a day. I try to do that every day, but it feels great. And speaking about the topic of happiness and that kind of a showering of appreciation sure does help with that. How about yourself?
That's awesome. Yeah.
What was the highlight of your day so far?
Yeah, I owe a lot to my wife. She's a great mother and a great great wife. My highlight today was talking to my 84-year-old mother who's got some memory issues. But one thing she can remember is that life is good and she is happy, and she's just a joy to talk to. So me and each of my two kids and my wife got to chat with her today. So that was really, really cool. She's the quintessential mother and has really always been a great example of happiness in my life. So it was great to talk to her again today. So, yeah, the format is a couple questions about happiness from Billy, a couple questions from happiness about Matt, from Matt, and we'll just go back and forth and try to answer them. Do you want to ask first the question, or do you want to be the one who answers first?
I'll ask you a question, Matt, about happiness.
All right.
You ready?
I'm ready.
Put your thinking cap on?
I do.
Okay. All right. Does it have the propeller on top?
No, it's got like a dome. It's like the dome team hat.
Nice. Dome head. All right, dome head. Here's the first question. Is it possible to be truly happy if your basic needs aren't met? And what I mean by basic needs is kind of riffing off a little bit of Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Basic needs, talking about things like food, shelter, etc. Can we be happy without those, Matt?
It's funny you say that, because I was doing an ethics course last night, continuing education, and they were talking about Maslow's hierarchy of needs, and I know that the pyramid is structured where the bottom of the pyramid is, food, water, shelter, those basic needs, and I believe Maslow would say that you cannot be happy if those, fundamental critical things aren't met. However, I think that, there's a lot of examples in the world of people who, are in completely, just untenable situations. This friend of mine, his father was a missionary and a doctor. He was in India, and he had seen so much suffering and pain, and that he became paralyzed. His mind paralyzed him. But there's a lot of examples of people who don't have those. Yeah. Yeah, for like 3 years. But he recovered, and just amazing guy who gave his life to others for so long, kind of like Mother Teresa. And, you know, but that seeing that destruction, that horror for so long, you know, can wear a person down. It's kind of like post-traumatic stress syndromes. But, you know, I think that while, you know, if you don't have food and water and shelter, I mean, you can't survive, let alone be happy. So I'll concede that to Maslow. But I think it kind of begs examples of people like Christopher Reeve, who overcome huge obstacles to be truly inspirational to others. And there's a lot of people out there with less fame and fanfare who, you know, tried to rise above it. And for whatever reason, everybody would give them complete permission to be miserable, but they refuse to do it. And they go to another level, you know. So, you know, kudos to those people. They just their courage can make me happy. You know, just watching that's just amazing. It gives me a warm, heartfelt emotion to know what some of those people are doing despite the odds. So the answer is no with a qualified yes. It's possible for some people.
Right. I mean, you mentioned, for example, Christopher Reeve, no disrespect to him, but he had food. You know, he sure did go through a lot with his injury, but, you know, and I agree with you that, you know, human spirit is, you know, we can overcome so much. But can we overcome hunger with happiness?
Mm-hmm.
Right? I don't have the answer. That's why I asked the question.
Yeah. No, we can't. Well, and I'm gonna change my claim. I drafted a couple questions for you today, but due to the true improvisational nature of our group,
yes,
I'm gonna change it up just a teeny bit. And your question is going to be connected, which is, assuming your basic needs are met, food, water, shelter.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a big survival reality show guy. I also like to do some survival camping on the side when I'm feeling up to it. But, you know, Naked and Afraid and episodes like that where they completely strip everybody's comfort level and all those basic needs. And they spend 21 days just trying to get one or two of those three back. And I promise you those people are not happy through the whole episode.
Right.
They're only happy when they get rescued and lifted out. You know, that's when the happiness. But assuming those things were met, assuming those three things were met, Billy, do you feel there's any reason not to be happy if you have those basic needs met?
Any reason?
I mean, should you be able to overcome about anything as long as those things are met, or do you think it's trickier than that?
I think if those basic needs are met, you have a foundation to then employ certain skills, mental skills, that can lead to happiness for sure. So I wouldn't say that there's a barrier. Now, I do see that there's a lot of thought processes that are barriers to happiness that sometimes people get stuck in and can't quite figure out. And so my quick answer to that would be yes. I mean, no, there shouldn't be any reason that happiness is unattainable. But it does, you know, happiness is, it's a journey. It's a way of being, in my opinion. It's not so much a destination or an outcome. So it's ongoing lifestyle, mind style, if you want to say, that
mm-hmm.
leads to that.
Yeah. And I think when asking it, I was kind of hoping for that answer that, you know, I was talking to my daughter about the show and telling her what our topic was. And I said, you know, what do you think it takes to be happier? What's the key thing to know about happiness? And she said, I think a lot of people are happy and they just don't know it. I said, what do you mean by that? That's an interesting statement. And she said, you know, that they have a lot of things to be thankful for and around them and in their lives and in other people's lives. And I think what she was really, you know, searching for, the word, was gratitude, you know, that.
Right.
Here it is, Mother's Day. I'm out, you know, grilling chicken. It's a beautiful spring day. Birds are chirping, and I'm just looking at the leaves dance in the wind. And, you know, really, I don't care. As long as I have my food, water, and shelter, I could be happy right now in this moment because it's just awesome. Not that there's not a lot of tough things going on in my life and there's challenges we all face, but if I take this moment right now, talking to you, listening to the birds chirp, it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, I agree. I think gratitude is I'm sorry, I interrupted you. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. I was just going to say, yeah, why don't you go ahead and respond to that and then fire me back a question.
Yeah. I think gratitude is a component, one of the ingredients of the recipe of happiness, for sure. And you know, hear people sometimes keeping a gratitude journal to put that type of mental skill into practice. And I think that really helps a lot to be able to focus on the good things. It's really creating that positive, energetic state within yourself. But I think there's other aspects to creating happiness in addition to gratitude. One of them that I think about is giving and helping others, being in a place of service. When we're able to demonstrate that, there's something magic that happens that helps us feel good. And again, that kind of sets us up for this positive emotional state. So let me just piggyback that. You were talking about gratitude. Is that
yep.
how we, and my question to you would be, how do we know that we're actually happy? Is it because you feel, is it, you know, what is that? What is that? How do you measure that?
How do we know we're happy?
Yeah.
I think you have to, it's a choice. Happiness is a choice. And that's kind of, I think, what my daughter was saying. She's like, some people are happy and they just don't know it. You know, you have to choose to decide to be grateful and to be happy. And, you know, even if things aren't going perfect in your world, you can look around you and see beauty other places. You can, you know, I've been listening to a lot of Eckhart Tolle. And, you know, if anyone listening hasn't connected to Eckhart Tolle and the Power of Now,
yeah.
Tolle, okay, yeah, Eckhart Tolle, you can just Google it. Tolle is his last name. There's one about surrender and acceptance. It's really good. There's one about suffering. Just Google Eckhart Tolle. But he kind of talks about almost being a third party observer to your own circumstance and situation. That can provide a lot of
I love that.
To your own pain, your own crisis, you know, because it kind of removes you from the actual, you know, oh wow, I'm feeling anxiety, or ooh, look at that, I'm kind of being very stressed out right now, or, you know, why am I so grumpy? That's interesting. Look at why I'm being grumpy in that situation. It gives you, it's almost, you know, my kids went to Montessori school and they had a preschool teacher, and she gave each of the parents this card during parenting class, right? Because the kids were fine. We were the ones who needed to get our heads screwed on straight. Susan Michael Barrett, B-A-R-R-E-T.
Yeah,
and you connected with her too. But she gives a little index card that says pause on it. You know, so as a parent, that's a great tool. You just kind of take a deep breath and pause. You know, you teach your kids that too. You know, they're a mirror of us. Because if we're grumpy and upset and, you know, I always say it's the easiest thing to bully a child. You know, it's not even sporting. You know, I can yell at you to go do your homework, or I can bark at you to clean your room, or, you know, get you to stop fiddling with the Snickers bars in line at the grocery store. But if I kneel down and say, hey, you know what? First of all, a lot of kids have touched that, and there's a flu going around. Probably wouldn't be a great idea for you to be touching it. And then, you know, that, you know, so let's not touch it. And the other thing is that mom's cooking dinner. We probably don't want to eat a Snickers bar right now anyway. So let's go ahead and, why don't you help me load the conveyor belt here? You know, that's a way to pause and kind of put some parenting in play. Whereas, you know, most people are just like, you know, stop fooling with that. Get over here. Grab them by the shirt
right.
and yank them towards you. You know, so
right,
pause
right.
is really important. And I think Eckhart Tolle is kind of saying, you know, just remove yourself from the situation. Once you can look at it from a higher vantage point, then you can start making really good decisions about, wow, you know what? I am stressed right now, but gosh, look what a great day it is. Or I am stressed right now, but, you know, even though I'm, you know, maybe arguing with my wife right now, I do have a wife, and that's a good thing, and I want to make sure that I keep that. So maybe I need to slow down here and think things through. So it's a long answer,
yeah, really,
but there you go.
Yeah, I really like that idea. And a couple things that come up for me as you're talking about that is, you know, I'm a big fan of the statement that we don't have to be our feeling, that we can have a feeling, and then we have a choice to act on that or not. And that is some of that healthy disattachment I think you're talking about. In fact, in Buddhism, I believe that they talk about the idea of disattachment. Not disattached that you're not involved or you don't care, but you're, like you were mentioning, a third-party observer. And in fact, there's a psychologist in system theory called Murray Bowen, and he's labeled this differentiation as, and he's explaining it as one of the peak human conditions that we can be in. But to do that, we also need a really acute and in-tune sense of emotional intelligence, right? We need to be kind of have the lens forced inward. You know, what am I feeling? Why am I feeling this? Being able to put a label on that feeling, being able to give yourself permission to have that feeling, even if it's a hard feeling to have, like shame. And then being able to differentiate from that and going, okay, well, I'm not going to engage in shameful thinking, but this is how it feels. And it's almost like just watching a cloud pass overhead. Oh, there it is. I feel it. And there it goes. It's passing right on by. And then we continue on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good stuff.
Yeah.
You had a specific statement that caught me as being pretty interesting, and I want you to repeat it. But it's almost like you aren't what you think, or you're not that feeling. You kind of are what you think, so be careful what you think, because, you know, if you think negative bad thoughts, you're going to have negative and bad feelings. But the point is that you're not that feeling, is what you were saying. Tell me more about that.
Right. How would I explain that? Of course, like you mentioned, I think are derived from thoughts, and the thoughts can be really quick and almost hiding from our awareness. And so we think, oh, I'm just feeling this way, but really there's always a thought that precedes that. But who we are as a person, our authentic self, isn't defined by those feelings. I think at a more spiritual soul level of, and we talked a little bit about this last episode, of our blog. I'm not really sure how to dig into that too much more, but I think it is really, it's kind of a neat place to be when you're able to achieve that. I didn't really answer your question, sorry.
I was just trying to see if I could probe for deeper meaning there, and I don't really know what the answer is other than I kind of started saying if you can become the observer and pause and slow down enough to kind of be objective about that feeling. And you said something really interesting, which was you aren't that feeling, you know. That feeling is just a moment in time. In Eckhart Tolle's Power of Now, he kind of talks about, you know, there is no past. There's only you right now choosing to think about the past. And there is no future. You can think about the future. You can want the next rung on the ladder. You can want a stretch for the brass ring, the bigger house, all these material things. You can keep wanting, you know, a bigger house or a happier family or whatever, but don't want something so much and so aggressively that you lose the importance of this moment right now, which might be your kid sleeping at the foot of your bed or, you know, your wife calling because she – you know, whatever, forgot her car keys and needs you to come home from work to let her back in. You know, it can feel like a headache or a hassle, but the reality is that moment right now, that's where your whole reality is in, you know, wow, I have a family, I have a wife, we have a house that needs keys, this isn't so bad. You know, I don't know. So just living in the moment is kind of important, you know, that's really what the Power of Now is talking about. And
I think
can't
a lot of
it. My turn to ask a question, or is it your turn to ask a question? I think it's my turn.
I don't know. Go ahead.
Okay. When you're struggling for happiness, when you find yourself slipping on being happy, and I know you're one of the happiest guys I know, so I think it's why in our second episode we picked happiness, because you and I are both pretty happy guys. So maybe we can continue to explore that concept and how we do it. But when you're struggling to be happy, Billy, what do you do to overcome that?
It's funny. I'll tell you a story, actually, and maybe this encapsulates it. Well, I guess the quick answer is that I really try to focus on appreciation, and I really try to focus on giving to others. I stop trying to focus on myself, and I start focusing on other people around me, even if it's strangers. And then I would play a little game of what can I do to brighten this person's world? And just, I think, taking some of the focus off of myself and the suffering that I happen to be going through, which most of the time is self-inflicted. I think it is for all of us. It lightens the load of the suffering that I'm going through. And another thing that I'm thinking about is I make sure that my basic needs are met. I know a lot of time it's harder for me to be happy when I'm really tired, for example, or if I'm really hungry. So this kind of gets back down to the basic needs. So I make sure that I have that foundation of basic needs met, and if that means I have to take a nap or eat a meal. But real quickly, the story, I don't know if you've ever had it, but most people do, but sometimes you just wake up and, you know, so you wake up on the wrong side of the bed. It's like, it wasn't even me. I'm kind of cranky and grouchy and snappy with my family. And I'm like, oh, this is not feeling good. I jumped in the car. I had to go to the post office. It was a Saturday. I go to the post office, and I kind of feel like, what's the name of that Peanuts character with a little dark cloud over his head all the time? That guy.
Pig Pen,
yeah. You know, I just kind of had that dark cloud hanging over my head. And walking into the post office, there's a lady coming out with a package. So I opened the door for her, and she shot me this awesome smile, said, thank you. And immediately my mood lifted just from her sharing that positive energy with me. And I thought, wow, that felt really good. So I went in, I got my mail, and then I thought, I'm going to do this a little bit more. And I spent about half an hour as the doorman at the post office. People were looking at me a little weird. Didn't matter to me. And I'm just opening the door for people, helping people carry their packages to the car, have a good Saturday. And by the time I got home, I felt so much happier. And it was a real lesson for me about the giving spirit of and how that really impacted my overall sense of well-being, my happiness.
Yeah, yeah. Amen to that. You and I were, I remember I was on a long commute somewhere, and you and I were talking about this, and it was one of the things that inspired this show. You know, this is, you're listening to Colors in the Void. Our topic today is happiness, which is really just two friends, you know, talking about life and the mysteries of the universe and things like death, divorce, happiness, addiction, sobriety, music, improvisation, meditation, you name it. You know, we're going to cover a whole bunch of a wide range of topics, and we hopefully you can find some of that value in that. But what Billy just said there is probably the most important words I've ever heard come out of his mouth. And really, he elaborated on this long phone call we had a few weeks ago. And it was that the key to happiness, this podcast promise that will give you one thing that guarantees happiness. And he just nailed it right there. I don't care how unhappy you are, what your circumstance is, if you can give and do something for someone else, you have no idea of how liberating and magical it is.
Really?
And it is literally, it's flawless. It's perfect. It never fails. Always, always be happy if you can just choose to give and do something nice for someone else. Even as simple as Billy standing in a post office, just, you know, I'm sure you were turning some heads, and, you know, that's beautiful. You know, you didn't care. You were making people happy, and you didn't care who didn't. Anyone who wasn't in the place to be happy with your actions, you know, so be it.
Yeah.
Okay, so, you know, I think one more question my direction, Billy, and then we got about 5 minutes left, and we'll just start wrapping it up and talk about our topic for next week. Hey, are you in a position to play for us, or is that a...
Yeah.
Okay. I just want to make sure you were near a guitar.
I think, yeah.
And you can sing or play or both, whatever you want to do. But we'll kind of do the last minute, we'll do an outro of Billy doing some music for us.
Okay.
That'd be our special thing. All right, go ahead and shoot with your last question.
So one of the things that you've been doing recently, Matt, if it's okay that I am vulnerable with you here a little bit, is meditation. I understand you've really picked up your game around meditation, been spending a lot more time with that. And I'm curious how or if that has influenced your overall sense of well-being, and if so, how specifically does meditation
great
influence your happiness?
Great question. You know, it kind of started with Billy's got this great mentor of his named Rich Roll. And he has an amazing,
I wouldn't say a personal mentor, but he has a great podcast. If you want to listen to another great
right.
podcast, listen to the Rich Roll podcast.
Yeah. Well, we would hope to be that good someday. But, yeah, Rich Roll has a fantastic podcast that Billy is inspired by, and he's turned me on to listen to a few episodes. One episode, I always wanted to do meditation. I didn't know how. I wasn't very good at it. You know, I just could never get any traction with it. And so Rich Roll had a guest called Light Watkins, L-I-G-H-T Watkins. In fact, today's intro music was a song called Light, interestingly enough. But anyway, Light Watkins just really demystified. And if you look up Rich Roll's podcast with Light Watkins, and Light was just like, there's no right or wrong way to meditate. You know, what you want to do is slow your mind down. That's it. You know, whatever you can do to do that, it's great. Breathing. But he just kind of had you tense up your feet and then release them, and tense up your calves, and then you release them, and your quads, and you release, and your stomach, and your chest, and your arms, and your fingers, and your face, and your neck. And, you know, you just keep breathing, and then you just kind of relax into it. You can be sitting up. You can be laying down. You can be walking. It doesn't really matter. You know, there's really no wrong way to meditate. Yeah, as you get better at it, you get, you know, tricks and tips that help you get better at it. One of the tricks and tips, he says, you know, a lot of people have a mantra, and there's a lot of great forms of meditation. One's called transcendental meditation, or TM, and you get a mantra, and this is a kind of a, you know, Sanskrit word. It's a two or three words perhaps, and I never really knew what they were or why people use these, but you basically just repeat them. It's kind of just something you just keep repeating over and over again. What it does, it takes your mind off of all of your daily issues and daily concerns and allows your mind to, he called it a charm. It's kind of like a charm that your mind follows deeper and deeper into mm-hmm. meditation. I thought that was a really cool concept. But, I was going through some stressful times and really struggling with you know, some tough business relationships, and, you know, I'm a pretty happy person, and I was not happy. You know, I was going through some other things and mm-hmm. just struggling. You know, for the first time in my life, I kind of found myself confronted to a pretty dark and bleak landscape, and I knew I had no tolerance for that. So I started thinking, I'm going to start looking around and seeing if I can't find a way to mend that. And meditation is really, and I'm talking transformative. It's been amazing. If you have trouble sleeping, there's nothing easier to get your mind quieted down and just let yourself fall into sleep than meditation. You know, I actually do 20 minutes of meditation a day. Some people do it 20 minutes twice a day, but any amount's great. If you can do 5 or 10 minutes, fantastic. There's guided meditations like the Eckhart Tolle one I mentioned about acceptance and mm-hmm. surrender. That's almost like him reading a chapter of his book, but they put it to kind of some soothing music and some chimes and bells and what have you. So really great stuff. And, you know, I just can't speak highly enough of how it's calmed me down and reduced my anxiety and allowed me to really be grateful and appreciate things. And in that meditation, I really just kind of, we'll have an episode. In fact, we're going to have an episode coming up real quick. We're going to get deeper into the meditation conversation, but, you know, it just allows you to be grateful and to pour your love on yourself and those around you. So we're coming up on the 1 minute mark. So again, this is Colors in the Void. I'm Matt. We're joined with Billy. Today we're talking about happiness.
Hey, hey.
And each week we're going to tackle a different concept. Billy's promised to give us a little music on the way out. So in the final remaining minute, I'm going to turn it over to you, Billy. Thanks. We'll see you all next week.
Hey, thanks you guys. And again, check out the show notes. Matt, I really appreciate you. And thanks for giving us a listen. Thank you.